right. Are we now working? Yes, I believe we are now working.
Okay.
Well, hereby call to order the May 9th, 2012 meeting of the Board of Legislators Committee on Appointments. I am Mary Jane Shimsky. I'm the chair of this meeting. And with me are members Elfrida Williams and Ken Jenkins. At this point, the first of the applicants is going to be brought down. If we want to approve the minutes now, I will entertain a motion. Okay, Ken can't do the motion because he wasn't present.
No, I'm so moved.
But I can second.
Yes, you can. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, very good. We did that much. We also have the Richard Spiller ethics waiver in front of us as well.
Richard Stiller is a former member of the county, and based on the laws of Westchester County, Section 883.21, he needs a waiver in order to work for an agency that does business with the county. He has submitted a request for waiver for the White Plains Bus Company, and I would so move.
Second.
Okay. If he were going to work for Liberty Lines, more inquiries might possibly be in order, but the distinction between our bus lines and White Plains Bus Company are different enough that I don't see any reason for having a problem with this particular one. Having a motion on the floor, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously, 3-0. We will get a signed resolution around as soon as possible. Okay.
Hi, how are you?
How are you, Mr. Chairman?
How are you?
I'd
like to reflect the presence of Ellen Unziata. Welcome.
Mr. Unziata, it's always good seeing you.
Well, you know, I often say Mr. Unziata is my father, but I'll take it.
Al, I say that same thing. So,
you know, right? We grew up with Mr. Jenkins, Mr. Nunziata. So it was always our parents, you know, our dad.
Thank you. Okay. So at this point, we will begin our interviews. We have a landlord position to fill on the County Rent Guidelines Board. We have an unusual wealth of applicants. We have two. We're going to interview them both today. First up is Carol Cope. Would you like to have a seat?
Have a seat.
Okay, thank you for coming in today. I'm going to explain to you, as I will to the other gentlemen we're interviewing. We feel as if we are unusually blessed with riches that we have two people for this position. We've heard great things about you both, and obviously only one person can get the title. I just want you to know that whoever we pick is going to do a great job, and whoever we didn't pick would have done a great job, and we thank you both equally for putting yourselves out to serve. Okay. You have an unusual combination of professional experience, and I'm the kind of person who believes knowledge never really goes to waste, and I wanted to get a sense from you as to whether you have felt that your background in law enforcement has at all informed the way you look at issues concerning your job as a realtor or real estate in general.
Oh, it's helped me tremendously.
Okay. How so?
My investigative techniques and ability, especially when I've had situations where I was renting for a party, getting background information so that I felt comfortable. Now, I even had a discussion with one of the fair housing people once saying, how do I put, and I might be stepping on toes saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, how do I put a person into an apartment where a woman is living in her house. She has an apartment in her house. She lives alone. She's elderly or middle-aged. Mm-hmm. And not
careful,
feeling...
because we're all middle-aged now.
I know, but it's just the idea of if a lone female and she's renting and not have that security about that person I'm putting in there. And they said, well, that's not your responsibility. I said, well, you might think it's not, but I think it is. And it's a major concern. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget when I was working as manager in Austin, the Austin office of Coldwell Banker. A gentleman came in. It was after hours. It was about 7 o'clock at night, and I'm working. And he comes in. I recognized him right away. I had put him away about 15 years prior.
Oh, happy.
And he wants to get a rental. And I was the only one in the office, and I said, he'd come upstairs because my office was up on the second floor. And my name was right there on the desk. Of course, it didn't have Detective Lieutenant in front of it, but my name was very common. Not common. It's
right.
pretty well known. And he sat down, and I said, you sure do you want to work with me? And I said, I don't look familiar to you. But I used to change my hair color a lot because
right.
I didn't want to be recognized, for victim's mm-hmm. sake. Mm-hmm. So he goes, he looks at the name, and he turned pale. And he said, well, you can't. And I said, did you register with the Austin Police Department that you're in the area? I mean, known sex offender, you're supposed to register. I said, I don't think you want to come to me, and I think you better go register to make sure that they know where you are. Otherwise, you're going to be caught up anyway because I'm going to let them know. And I did make a phone call to the detectives over there, but the bottom line was I felt very uncomfortable. Here's a guy going out looking for an apartment. And imagine some poor woman because the realtor doesn't do what they should do. So, there's a lot of open or gray area, I should say. So, yeah, it's helped me a lot. It's made me lose sleep at night sometimes, but I think it's helped me tremendously. And I think my ability to read body language, eye kinetics, things like that have helped me in working with clients and helping people, knowing when somebody's telling me the truth or not, or feel like they're not.
How much in your career as a real estate professional, how much work have you done with rentals as opposed to...
Mostly sales, but okay. I've done a lot of rentals, a lot of representing landlords, mm-hmm. representing tenants.
Okay.
So I've done both sides, and knock wood, I haven't had the problem except one in 28 years, one case where a person had to be evicted. Uh-huh. And the person had lied, and when I went through their background, which I should have done first, but I knew him, I didn't know her, and I should have, forget it, I won't say what I should have done, I do that to myself enough, but if I had done more intense background, I would have found out that they didn't belong there. I did a cursory background, knowing him, that was the problem, and his recommendation was somebody I knew that was also involved in housing mm-hmm. down in Yonkers, so the fact that he was giving his blessings, I let too much weigh on that, and I should have. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't need to go off on tangents.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, we have to get a sense of who you are as a person. And
well, I learned a lesson there. So, I mean, now if somebody sends somebody to me or they have a good name on, I don't let that sway me. It's not that person I'm rating, so to speak. It's the person I'm...
Everybody gets the same level of due diligence.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. How much work do you do as a real estate professional dealing with the financial side of landlords and tenants?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot. Right now, I'm even doing a property management for somebody out of the state and one out of mm-hmm. the country where I'm handling. I pick up the checks. I deposit the checks. Anytime mm-hmm. there's a problem, I'm the one that gets called, mm-hmm. get the place fixed. I'm up to a certain amount.
How many units in that building?
Eight.
Okay.
It's not major. I don't do these big monstrosity buildings, but I can mm-hmm. project what those are like. Mm-hmm. I have friends that do that kind of work, own buildings like that. And, mm-hmm. I've helped them with books, showing them what they can do to make their life easier, but I'm not hired by them or anything like that. It's just certain things that I pick up in classes I take that I pass information on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anyone have any other questions?
I know Carol from our realtor world, and mm-hmm. she's just been outstanding person, and based on her background, I know that before that there was consideration for different roles on the Rent Guidelines Board, and because of her, her strong realty background, it almost precluded her from being a public member.
That upset me.
Right?
That upset me, because I was coming in as a public, not, you know, as the public representative. And I know I can be very fair in things. It's something I pride myself in.
Well, again, knowing the type of work in the realty world that we've done, so.
And it's, you have to be fair to be a good detective. It's the only way you can really get to the bottom.
Oh, I can tell you stories, yeah. You're 100% right.
By the way, I used to work in the Manhattan DA's office.
Oh.
So.
Did you work with Fairstein, Linda?
She was like second in command or something when I was there, so I'd see her in the hallway once in a while, but we were there at the same time.
I worked with them for a while downtown.
Oh, really? Okay. Do you have anything else,
no.
Rita?
Interesting background.
I'm sorry that, you know, I have so much that it's actually four pages, and somebody said, don't dare send them that. Scrunch it down.
Thank you.
So that was, I had help scrunching it down.
Yes. Okay, well, I wrote a 527-page PhD dissertation. So four pages, don't scare me. But anyway, thank you very much for coming
That's
in.
All?
Do you have
any questions?
Yeah. Do you have any questions for us? Is there anything you want to add in your own defense? Or
do you know the process? I mean, forget our
idea.
Process.
I have an idea. Mm-hmm. I've followed the New York City Rent Guidelines Board. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in what goes on. And
Well, as far as your appointment is concerned, after we vote here, the approved person gets voted on the floor of the legislature. We're hoping that will happen at the May 21st meeting.
Okay.
At that point, the state has to approve your appointment. I think largely that's due diligence on their part to make sure you meet the statutory qualifications. So there is a multi-step process. It's my understanding that if we get the confirmation on the floor on the 21st, the state will have enough time and the appointee will be able to sit in June when it all starts.
Yeah, that's when it starts? Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, when does this start?
Yeah,
the first hearing, I believe, is in Mount Vernon on June 3rd.
Okay.
So the timing is just right in the
My old stomping grounds, Mount Vernon. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it's that intense period, just that
waiting.
The hearings
and
that's it's just intense. We don't have it like New York City though. I've watched some of those on the news in the morning and
full contact sport.
It just doesn't seem quite the same. Although you know the hearings
a little more low key.
A little bit. You know, it is Westchester, so we try. So. Okay.
Right.
So thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
No, we're good. It's good to see you. Right.
Okay. Thank you, Ken.
Okay,
it
thank
was
you.
Nice meeting
Pleasure
you.
To meet you.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. All I can say is you won't be disappointed if you do pick me. It's up to you. No.
Wait, thank you, Cal.
Fair enough.
Thank you,
Cal.
Bye.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. These are public meetings, so.
While we're waiting for Mr. Nefario to come, if we could ask Mr. Nunziata, as an active participant in these meetings for several years and a member of the government operations housing component team still, if I recall, right? And thank you for your service there and volunteer service for many, many years.
I'm privileged to be on that.
The question that I would just ask just for while we're just talking about from the Realty Institute, which is a landlord advocacy group, for not trying to insult it or anything landlord, is there any criteria that you have seen in these candidates that we have in front of us that would cause from the landlord perspective, from BRI's perspective, that we should be concerned about in our deliberations?
I cannot see anything, because of the existing constraints in the statute. Remarkably, you'll all know about this now.
Actually, actually, it might be a good idea for you to come up here because I'm not sure that it's going to pick you up there, Al.
Sure, okay. So anyway, so you all are probably familiar now with the fact that in the existing statute, I don't know how far back it goes, 74, whatever, there was an artificial constraint on the pool of possible candidates. Tenants could serve as tenant reps, but owners or managers of housing related to the statute subject to the statute were prohibited from serving as owner reps. So, and how that existed over all these years is a mystery to us, because in 1974, we were around, but we weren't around in our present day. And also, there was another weird prohibition, and this is all by way of answering your question. Mm-hmm. There was another weird prohibition that tenants who served on tenant organizations and landlords who served on landlord organizations could not serve as their respective reps on the rent guidelines. So it made no sense. So with that constraint, that handcuff in mind, we reach out to people, good people in the real estate community, who, according to the current statute, who are not directly involved in ownership and or management of housing subject to the statute. And so we have, good candidates like Mr. Nicolario, Ms. Cope, and whatever, because we can't go to a Ken Nielsen, as we should be able to. It boggles the mind. And by the way, parenthetically, we are looking to, just for board information, because we may want to come to you with this, with an idea to simply strike out the limiting lines in the existing statute, which would, one, open up the, for lack of a better word, the gene pool of candidates available to both tenants and owners. Because what we're looking for is simply striking out those prohibitions that even prohibit a tenant who might serve on Dennis Hanratty's organization, or Dennis Hanratty himself could serve as a tenant rep. Right now he can't. And it makes no sense, So we're looking to, to change that, not only for the benefit of the landlords, but also for, just to widen the choice of possible candidates for both sides of the fence. So.
I would tell you, Madam Chair, I was completely shocked about that particular thing. And I've served on this committee since 2007, right? And we have had public representatives. We have had tenant representatives. This is the first opportunity that we've had to interview landlord representatives. And my assumption, without having reviewed the statute on that particular portion, I knew the one for the tenants because we had to go through it then, and obviously the public one because we had to go through that then. But my assumption was that a landlord should be an advocate
for the
owners. It kind of makes sense to me. So, Mr. Nunziata, we look forward to seeing that legislation or the proposal that will come.
We can continue this discussion. Right. You raise an important point, and we should have the discussion as to why it was that way, what benefits, the obvious disadvantages, and figure out
that's the reason why we have to go out to people in the banking community, or people in the real estate community, or people in the legal community, like Ken Finger and Elliot Cherson, who were the only ones who were able to answer the clarion call at that time to serve. And then after a while, the process will burn any normal human being out, whether they be tenant or tenant rep, public rep.
That's encouraging.
John, thanks for coming in.
Are you sure you want to stay?
And the point that they were making before with Carol Cope, the first candidate from the real estate community, was that one will ultimately be picked, but the thing is, God only knows, and I'm not speaking for Mr. Finger, by the way. This is on the record, but I'm not speaking for him. I mean, today or tomorrow, Ken Finger might say, after 8, 9, 10 years, however long he's been doing this, I've had enough, and then whoever isn't picked this round, hopefully will be able to fill that vacancy. when and if that happens, because it's got to happen, because most mortal men and women in this process, you just get tired.
There's a standard life expectancy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's in half-life, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Right, because it's a very challenging role. So.
By the way, quick question. Morgenthau's office?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I always had the highest admiration for him. Yeah, nice.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you're going to stay for the duration, I take it. Good. Okay, great. Okay, welcome, John.
Thank you.
I'm Mary Jane Shevsky.
Nice to meet you.
I'm the chair of the committee.
Great.
And Alfreda Williams and Pam Jenkins are sitting in as members today. Melanie Montalto is our acting committee.
In the high chair.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to buy a car. You know, they always put you in the low chair.
Wow. See, we didn't know that.
You know that? Oh, yeah, because they want to feel like they're in control. So when you go to buy a car, you should stand up.
You know, I try not to take it personally, but about three quarters of the time I sit in the committee room, I get a low chair.
Budget cut. I'm sorry, I had to do that.
Okay. Thank you for coming in today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what we're blessed to have two people come interested in this position, mm-hmm. and we've heard very good things about you both. Now, obviously, only one of you is going to get mm-hmm. the nod, at least this time.
Right.
And whichever one we don't pick, it doesn't mean that we didn't love you, too. It just means we could only
totally
pick one.
Fair.
Okay, fair enough. All right. I guess I'd like to start talking to you about your professional experience a little bit. A lot of the work, as I understand, on the Rent Guidelines Board involves a certain amount of financial due diligence. How much of that kind of work do you do at the bank?
Basically, that's all I do. I mean, and it's more, you know, I do a lot of analysis of individuals, mm-hmm. you know, personal tax returns. Mm-hmm. I also analyze co-op financial statements, condo. So, I mean, that's really what I spend a lot of my time because, you know, I have a whole group of people that work for me. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of them are not trained, you know, in finance, believe it or not. You know, they're great at sales, but they're not good technically. So I guess it's actually a good fit because that's sort of my, I mean, I'm okay at sales, but I'm better, you know, at analyzing. And so that's basically, I spend a lot of time doing that.
Okay, so at the co-ops and the like, you get to see what their expenses are like
mm-hmm.
and everything else. Yep. Okay.
You know, and I also, not only do I analyze the financial, you know, we look at, you know, what is the makeup of the building and how many investors are there in the building. How many people are delinquent on their maintenance? What's the owner occupancy? What's the underlying mortgage? What percentage of that is tax deductible? I mean, the whole shoot and match.
Okay. The financial planning certification program you're in now mm-hmm. with Iona, what's involved with that?
Actually, I completed that years ago, and I'm actually taking it again through mm-hmm. NYU.
Okay.
And that actually is five courses. I'm on course number two. Mm-hmm. And it's estate planning, investment planning, it's general financial planning, it's insurance, retirement. It's really vigorous. I got to tell you, it's harder than my MBA.
Really?
I got to tell you, it is. But I'm going to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
going to
kill
me,
but I'm going to get through it. It's actually through the, it's called Dalton School, but it's through NYU.
Okay.
Okay. So I do that at night and on the weekends for fun.
There you go.
Well, if analyzing financials is your life, I guess it's a good fit.
Yeah, I actually enjoy it.
Okay. That's good. There's one other question I have for you. I'm looking for it on the thing. If any of the other members have any questions, they should feel free to jump in.
So, how long have you been a Westchester resident?
All my life.
So, all right, so you've been here all your life. So, mm-hmm.
You don't want to know how old I am, do you?
No. No, I was just looking at the different ranges of places that you've been involved in. So, in Connecticut, the time I would assume is in
New York.
Right.
I was in Long Island. Oh. Westchester and Long Island.
Okay. And then out in Long Island, Woodbury, and then down to Jacksonville for a little stint, and then came back to back at Manhattan and So.
Yeah, I mean, I always lived here. I mean, I did consulting work then in Jacksonville, so I just flew down for a couple days every week.
Hey, but I enjoyed Jacksonville, and I was working down there with a consulting firm for World Health.
Mm-hmm.
And the best place I ever stayed in was this bed and breakfast. And I swear I would never stay in a hotel after that, right?
Because
it was actually a long-term consulting thing. So I would get on a plane Friday, Monday, come home on Friday,
yep,
kind of thing. And
it's a much better life doing it that way.
I mean, you think hotels are nice, but you know you can't eat out every night.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
you know it's a good place. So.
Leadership Westchester. Mm-hmm. Is that the program through Westchester Community College, or is that something else?
No, it's something else.
Okay, that actually
was a great program.
Mm-hmm. The United Way program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially what we did was
I think they have receptions for them at WCC.
Yeah, we actually had it. Where did we have it? Mercy College was our graduation, quote unquote.
Okay.
But it was a really cool program because we got to go to the county jail and talk about issues and opportunities there, and then we went to a homeless shelter. We went to the school that's housed, I can't remember the name of the darn school, it was really cool though. It's housed right next to the jail.
Oh, Woodfield College.
Yeah, Woodfield College, and the Wayward kids go there, and we got to spend some time with the kids. And then we went up to the nuclear plant, mm-hmm, and sort of saw how that whole thing works and talked about, all the issues facing, our state as well as our county on energy. And then we did a housing day. It's actually a really cool program because, there were a lot of things that I didn't really know, and that's why I took the program. To this day, I'm involved in it, mm-hmm, because the director actually runs a program in Ossining for, kids that really don't have families right now. So once a year I go and to the benefit, and I support it financially, and it's really good. It was a really good program. Opened your eyes to different things.
Can you put your finger specifically on certain ways it's helped broaden your vision?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. A couple ways. One is, from the nuclear plant thing, you realize, where our electricity comes from. I mean, it was really unbelievable. And how dependent we are on that plant, for our survival. We put a lot, one of the things in business you never want to do is you want to spread your risk. And I don't think we spread our risk because we rely on that for so much of our energy. And, one of the things we talked about is, we really need to diversify and we need to have other options. Mm-hmm. If that thing were to blow up, heaven forbid, what would we... I mean, granted, we'd have other problems if it blew up.
It wouldn't be that big. Let's worry about it.
But if it shut down...
If it was
shut down,
if it shut down for a couple years...
Shut down.
To clean the radiation out, we'd have... prices would just go through the roof. What would we do? And, to create alternate plants is just so critical. And then spending time with the kids was really, it was very moving for me because I actually went to college to be a special ed teacher. And I don't know why I switched out the business, but I did. But there's these poor kids need so much direction and help, and they don't get it. Once I have more free time, I'm going to spend more time, helping these kids because they need it. I think it's great to have younger kids helping them, but I think they need the older people's wisdom sometimes, to help them, in the right direction. It was actually heartbreaking to see some of these kids were really good kids, and, they just came from homes where they didn't get any support, were abused, and, but anyway, so that was... that piece. And then the housing piece, that was easy for me, to understand.
What did you do for the housing piece?
It was really, we met with the owners of the, I forget the apartments, what they're called in New Rochelle. They have them in New Rochelle, they have them in Stamford, about, how they created the high-rise housing, mm-hmm, to provide affordable rental. Now
yeah,
the rents are going through the roof, but...
Avalon.
Yeah, Avalon. That was it.
Oh, okay.
And then the some, I know some people from New Rochelle spoke, actually the mayor, Branson, spoke, you know, about the city. And then we talked about, you know, the housing market, you know, in New Rochelle and in all over Westchester. And that's where I was able to really, you know, add, you know, a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And that was actually sort of in the middle of the, you know, the decline, you know, the housing market.
Does anyone have anything else? Okay.
That's all you want to know. It's easy.
Yeah.
Oh, did they tell you what the meeting's like usually? Cause,
well, no, they haven't told me that. Oh,
we go easy here on the folks, so this way when they go to the meeting, they expect it's just like the board approval process.
We're trying not to scare you off, is what he's saying.
Well, what's the biggest challenges you find, like, in the meetings?
In the
the board doesn't participate in those meetings.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I know that there's some folks out there, whether the advocates for either side, that look and think that the elected officials like us should make comment on it. And I personally have a view that says because we read a lot of this stuff that we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Right, you know, other elected officials should,
right?
Because they can, but if you're in the,
I understand,
the wheelhouse of it, I think it's difficult to do that and be viewed as fair on either side,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, sometimes it goes way X or way Y,
mm-hmm.
and whoever is on the opposite side thinks that, you know, it was a
gotcha.
It was unfair. So that's, but the meetings themselves, the public comes out and, you know, they'll tell their tales of woe that is. If
yep.
you're a landlord, you have woe on expense, and mm-hmm. you're a tenant, you have woe on expense.
Yep.
So that's everyone right. has woe, and it's
I hear it every day.
It's a very different, right, and mm-hmm. you see it.
It's very sad, I got to tell you.
Right, and it's very challenging
mm-hmm.
as far as I've seen. So
yeah,
it actually is one of the few committees that we actually that you get compensated for.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only there's two, right? And
not in a big way, but we get a little something.
I'm not doing this for money, I assure you.
Not for that kind of money.
This is really it's just to broaden, you know, my background experience.
I wasn't trying to suggest that. I mean,
no,
I think it's $100 a meeting or something like that. So
yeah,
but
don't spend it all in one place.
And, you know, after the, like, 8 or 9 hours of meeting per night, you know, when you get those public hearings and they can go on forever, trust me, after the other night, we left at midnight on one thing. Yeah. So it's just, we're all doing it for love.
Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank goodness there's people like all of you to do it.
And people like you who mm-hmm. also step forward. In terms of the process on this spot, what will happen is this committee will now have to make the difficult decision of
mm-hmm.
which of the two of you will put forward. Then at the May 21st meeting, the Board of Legislators will vote on our recommendation,
mm-hmm.
assuming that's approved. And
right.
I'm not anticipating any trouble, but mm-hmm. They do have to approve it, and believe
right.
me, there are no rubber stamps around here. It then has to go to the state for approval. And I think the bulk of the state approval process is probably due diligence to make sure you meet the statutory qualifications.
Mm-hmm. Background check, the whole how do you do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a background check.
Yeah, no, to make sure that you, because for the reps, there are certain people who, there are certain qualifications they expect to see, and then there are certain groups of people who would be qualified, as Al pointed out, who mm-hmm. are not allowed to serve.
Right.
So,
okay.
So they'll be going through that, making sure that whoever it is will be qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hearings begin on June 3rd, so it will happen very quickly
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Okay.
Melanie?
The state interviews you as well.
There's also a state
interview.
I assume they come down here.
I think they have an office in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes they're here too. Right?
Yeah, 75 Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. South Broadway.
So, yeah.
Okay, dope. No other questions?
Okay.
Questions for us?
No, I guess I'll wait. I mean, I want to understand, like, what is it that this individual does? Like, what impact can they have, and what kind of skills are you looking for?
Well, it's essentially what the board does is decide on the rent increases, if any, for the rent stabilized units in the jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what you're going to be doing is the kind of financial, is related to the kind of financial due diligence you do on a regular basis. You're also going to be listening to oral testimony from landlords and tenants,
mm-hmm.
Talking about their financial issues. So there's definitely an interpersonal component,
mm-hmm.
as well as the financial component.
Right.
But there are 9 members of the board. It's 3, 3, and 3?
So 2, 2, and 5.
2, 2, and 5. So it's 2 landlord, 2 tenant, and 5 public?
Correct.
The public members are people who don't have an oar on either side of the boat.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And the 2 landlord reps are essentially people like you who might be seen as representing landlord interests, but are not landlords,
mm-hmm.
themselves or in certain business or certain capacities supporting
right.
them. And then on the tenant side, there are 2 people in,
right.
in an analogous position as
mm-hmm.
well, because there are a fair number of exclusions on the tenant side
mm-hmm.
as well as to who can serve and who cannot. So you'll be going to meetings, you'll be going over financials, you'll be deliberating. Am I stating everything accurately, Al? I think you know more about this than I do.
I'm just coming over.
Yeah.
There are at least three public hearings, Yonkers, Mount Vernon, and White Plains. It used to be Neuchâtel, but no more. And then containing all the stuff that Legislator Shimsky mentioned in terms of both oral and written testimony, as well as the results of the analysis that DHCR provides based on the operation and maintenance cost surveys and apartment registrations
uh-huh.
and everything. So there's actually a fair amount of data that you got to go through. And then after that, then usually around the latter part of June, around the 20th, 21st, 23rd, 25th, whatever, then there are at least 2 public meetings, which are open meetings of the board, of the Rent Guidelines Board, where you deliberate and then you come to some kind of a vote on whatever the guideline might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm assuming we get the information ahead of time to analyze?
Historically, just for the board's
information, yes.
for this board,
right.
the committee's information, is that for whatever reasons, the response of the Division of Housing has been a little later each year, for whatever reason, sometimes staff, sometimes whatever. And so the compilation of that data would normally be in years past, maybe at the end of May, so that you had it by June. But sometimes the data has been available, let's say, the night of the first hearing or something. So, you know, but technically, you know, by hook or by crook, the data does become available sometimes earlier, sometimes later, given the year and given the other responsibilities in Rockland and Nassau County, which are the other suburban counties. And they compile the bulk of the official data.
Prior to those 2 public board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So you the hearings, hopefully the data is before everyone, but by the time the hearing comes,
mm-hmm.
because that gives people something to talk about.
Yeah,
other
otherwise,
than to say,
what would you
okay,
say?
I want this, but that there's a fair amount of that.
<That's>
that happens from, you know,
right.
But the data, the board's role is going through the data, right? And doing that analysis based on the data.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Mr. Chairman, you know, going back to what you said, you will hear, and those were very apropos words you mentioned, you will hear, you know, their own personal tales of woe, both on the tenant and landlord side, depending on, you know, what they're talking about, either, you know, previous rent increases or, you know, the taxes and the water are going up in Yonkers and, you know, and... So you will hear both anecdotal as well as actual you know, written testimony and stats.
Numerical data.
Do we make any suggestions on maybe ways that they could be more efficient? Or, you know, after analyzing their data, say,
is that something?
That's a good question. And that's a good question. And in fact, Carol was asking me that outside, too, is that during the course of the year, the bulk of your hearings are in June. And then maybe scattered for the rest of the year, there's a certification meeting in September when you all come back after summer break and you certify whatever you decided upon. But all throughout, you have, they've been very, very good, for lack of, I mean, they've been great, DHCR staff. I will always call them DHCR, I know they changed the name, yes. But I will always call them DHCR. But they have excellent staff at the meetings, Mike Rosenblatt, who's assistant commissioner and deputy counsel, and the board can opine and suggest freely, and he often goes back to his superiors, you know, presumably even back to the governor, with suggestions that the board makes from time to time, how to better streamline the system, or have you ever thought of looking at this, that, or the other? Because mm-hmm. I've seen that kind of thing, which is always encouraging.
Yeah. Okay. Got a better idea now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for coming
in. Nice meeting you.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
Nice meeting you. Oh. You have to stand up.
That's okay.
Nice meeting you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Albert.
Okay, take care.
Hey, John, before you go, the matter, Chair Shipsky mentioned it before, that there's one place and there's one position, mm-hmm. and both of you's resume actually fits into more than one category, mm-hmm. right? Because in the public sector, there is a requirement to have a financial background, mm-hmm. right? So that there's opportunity if things don't happen this time. You know, as Mary Jane said before, I don't remember you saying it this time. That's why I mentioned it again.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
All
right.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye. See you later.
Okay. At this point, at some point, I'm going to have to make a 30-second phone call to my daughter. But before we do, I wanted to make sure that you stayed in the room because I didn't. The significance on it did not wash over me the way it should have. But when Carol was here, she mentioned something about acting in a capacity, managing an 8-unit building for someone who was away. Is that, can there be an issue with her qualifications here?
Was that a historical car? Because I didn't quite hear it when I was in the corner there.
I thought the way that it sounded to me that it was...
Current.
It was current
mm-hmm.
for an 8-unit building. An 8-unit building that is that the person's out of the country. It sounded like right. Now, I don't know if she's managing something out of the country or whether
it could be in a community that's not ETPA. I'll help you get clarification on.
Okay, yes, we definitely should have that going forward because we don't want it. The last thing we want to see happen is end up in a position where we send up somebody
absolutely.
Who ends up being rejected
and
because there's an issue with the qualifications.
That very question or whatever, and then you know you wind up having to.
Do we? What I was looking for, and Melly, if you could get it for us, I'm sure you got it there, the guidelines. Is that the guidelines?
Yeah, do you have the statute?
Here.
The statute?
I didn't bring it with me.
Can you just grab it really quick, because that would be helpful for us. And if you,
okay.
You could take the time.
I'm going to step out to check in with my daughter.
Like them,
yes, the committee will recess and will reconvene shortly.
At the call of the chair.
At the call of the chair, of course. Okay, we are reconvening the May 9th, 2012 meeting of the Committee on Appointments. Present Chair Mary Jane Shimsky, members A. Williams and K. Jenkins, Alan Unziata, and Committee Coordinator Melanie Montalto, Acting Committee Coordinator. We have received a copy of the summary of the requirements for the members of the Rent Guidelines Board, which says in pertinent part,
No member, officer, or employee of any municipal rent regulation agency or more pertinent part, no person who owns or manages real estate covered by this law or who is an officer of any owner or tenant organization shall serve. Based on this, we obviously should ask some follow-up questions of Ms. Cope, if she is indeed our preferred candidate at this point.
Hey, Madam Chair,
yes.
If you would, if you could follow up, I believe the best thing would be to have a conditional recommendation ensure that.
Right. I think that would be good. We will do. Now, if we have a conditional resolution passed tonight, is that the form in which it will appear when we go to the full board on May 21st?
What we could do, Madam Chair, is we can, if it is the direction of the committee, to have the resolution adopted with the proviso that we have that information validated for the units that Ms. Cope identified that she was the manager of, to ensure that it's not covered by the law.
Mm-hmm.
And should that be the case, then we would go forward. And if not, then we would have the other candidate.
Mr. Naclerio, who there was no question of qualifications of, although at this point, whoever gets the good news, essentially we're going to read the statute to them just to make sure. So we have time. We have plenty of time to reconvene a meeting of this committee, should it be necessary between now and the 21st of May. But we'd better make sure that there are no problems going forward. So would someone like to make the motion as suggested by Mr. Jenkins?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passes unanimously, vote of 3-0. I will go out into the world, get more information from Ms. Cope about her situation, and we will then see exactly where we are with this. Do I have a motion? Is there any other business?
Did you guys do the minutes while I was there?
Yes, we did the minutes. We did the minutes. We also passed the resolution for Richard Stiller. Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn? Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, we stand adjourned at 5:12 p.m.